Let's go to the word of the Lord here tonight. Thank you for singing and the music. And I want to just, every once in a while, I like to, as I say, just talk to you, slow down, and I want to make a better Christian out of each and every one of us tonight. I don't know about you, but I still have some room for improvement. And the longer I live for Christ, the more I see there's a lot of room for improvement. You know, when you're early in Christ, you think you got it made. And you think, I'm a Christian. But the longer you live for Christ, you realize how far away you are. How far you got to go. But I'm further along now than I was when I started. That I know. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12 and 1. Paul is writing, I'm going to read two sets of scriptures that he wrote to this church in 2 Corinthians, the second letter that he wrote. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I'm going to call that tonight gloat. Okay. Because Paul wrote a lot about boasting. And he would say, if you want to boast, well, I could boast, and let me tell you. And he would tell you. But he said, it's not expedient for me to gloat. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Then he writes, is actually an earlier in the book, he writes in 4 and 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving may redound or go back to the glory of God. Everything about the grace of God goes back to the sounding board, to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. And this is the puzzling part. He starts talking about fainting. Fainting, it's like we don't give up. What are you talking about? We're talking about the abundant grace of God and thanksgiving and all the glory going back to God. But he said, for which cause we faint not, though our outward body or outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. People say, I got the Holy Ghost at 19. Well, good. You got to get it every day. You've got to stay in contact. Let me just say this. I'll let you be seated because I want to talk just a little bit. You can be seated. We're going to pray in just a minute. I'll give you my title. I'm going to let you be seated. I want you to realize that everything you ever got into, you were led into. Think about it. I don't care if it's the gospel or drugs. Everything you got into, you were led into it. You didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to be a Christian. You didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to be a drug addict. You were led into it. And it's kind of hard to say, but all the faults that you have, you should take the blame, but you should also realize it's not all my fault. Because I was led into this. And we have to let, as the song said, the Spirit lead us. And that's why I can tell you, you were led into all things. And immediately you're thinking, well, it's somebody. No, it's the desires of your own flesh that lead you. A friend can't lead you into what you don't desire. You already desire it. He says, oh, come on. Well, okay, I'll give it a try. Same thing with coming to church. Why don't you come to church? Well, no, I don't. But in your heart, you're going, yeah, I really want to go. I really need this. And so we are led into these things. And so we need to be led by the Spirit, as he says, renewed day by day. Now, fainting and glory of God, what does all this have to do? For our light afflictions. Now, this is a man that could tell you how many times he was beat with rods, how many times he was shipwrecked, and you could probably tell us how many things you've went through. And he says, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, they're both weights, okay? So he's talking about Some of these weights are for a moment. Affliction is a weight. But I'm here to tell you glory is too. I'm here to tell you glory is heavy. And so he talks about the earthly afflictions and the eternal weight of glory. And he's talking about giving God the glory in your body. And these light afflictions that he calls that came on him was because he was giving God the glory. So I want to talk about the weight of glory tonight. The weight. He said they work for us an eternal weight of glory. So there is a weight. If you're carrying the glory of God tonight, you're carrying a weight. It's the weight of glory. And all righteous shall suffer persecution. Let's pray. God, we come before you tonight with your word. Your word is infallible. And whatever it says, that's what it is and what it will become. Help us to understand it, God. Lord, sometimes if we could just understand what we go through, we perhaps could take it better. Let us understand tonight that living for you, there is a weight to carry, but it works for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I had a little subtitle, Gloat or Glory. Gloat or Glory. There's nothing more heavy in the world than a spotlight. The heaviest thing there is in the world is a spotlight. Because it always brings ridicule. Get a microphone. Nobody cares how you talk till you get a microphone. They'll start talking about your squeaky little voice. As long as you sit out there and worship the Lord, it's no problem. But if you want to give God the glory, you can't be quiet. Paul said what we did was not in a corner. We got out in the street corners to give God the glory, and we took a lot of criticism. We took a lot of beating. We took a lot of ridicule. And when you decide to carry the weight of glory, you can be assured there'll be jealousy and malice and envy and strife among other people. Glory is the precursor, if you're not careful, to your own pride. God can give you something and call you to do something, and you can be so good at it, you start crediting yourself for it rather than the one that called you to do it. I'm just preaching down to earth stuff here tonight. As they say, it's rice and gravy. Glory can be the precursor of pride, and pride comes before a fall. The hardest life to live, my brothers and sisters, is a prideful life. It is so hard to live a prideful life. People that live prideful, dress prideful, act prideful, have to do it all their lives. They have to maintain that pride. I'm like, when you go to sell something, you buy something from me, there's always a little disclaimer that says two words, as is. As is. You got me as is. You see me when I'm out going to other places and I'm as is. And if you're embarrassed to say, that's my preacher, well, it's as is. That's what you got. And that's the way we should be. It's as is. And what you see is what you should get. But pride makes you act like somebody you're not. And you have to keep that up. You have to keep making it up, so to speak. And that's no fun. It's a weight. Amen. I've seen so many nobodies that become rising stars only to become falling stars. We could talk about Elvis Presley, if you will. We could talk about a lot of rising stars that was nobody. I mean nobody. Sang in a little old wooden church somewhere, and now they're singing on The Voice and don't know you anymore. The weight of glory cannot be carried by carnal people. Because what will happen, you will begin to steal the glory away from the glory that God gave you and begin to claim part of it yourself. And we all know that God will not, he will not, listen close, he will not share his glory with another. Beside him, there is no other. Amen. So if you can't carry the weight of his glory, give it back to him. It would be better you say, I'm not doing this, than to try and steal that glory that God has given unto you. Amen. And so the only one that I know that ever carried the glory of God without stumbling was Jesus Christ. The only one. Amen. Let's read a little bit. I do have a number of scriptures because it's just a Bible lesson for you tonight. Philippians 2 and 4. Paul writes again, "Look not every man to his own things, but every man also to the things of others. Let this mind be in you." Christ didn't die for himself. He died for you. Let everybody be more concerned about the things of others than they are themselves. Who spared not even his angels, who spared not his own son because he cared about you. Let that mind. Yeah, we all say, "Oh, let that mind in Christ be." You know what that's saying? Let that mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now watch. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It was no robbery. I only do what he sent me to do. My meat is to do the will of the one that sent me and to finish it. Glorify me with the glory. He only did what he was asked to do and never stole the glory. He's the only one. I mean, I've often told the Lord, "Don't give me any more talent than I can handle and still give you the glory." Because if I started raising the dead and I started blinding eyes, I might think, you know, I don't know. I can't do it. So, but you don't have to be somebody. You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to steal God's glory. I've seen people, as they say, poor is Job's turkey and is more prideful than a peacock. So God allowed, listen close, God allowed when Jesus was a form of God, and he allowed him to be born and gave him all power in heaven and earth, not worried that he's going to steal his glory. I'm not worried. Because should God get nervous with you tonight? I'm afraid many times sometimes church folks propagate that. "Man, that girl can sing." Can she? Or is God using her? Which is it? Is it God that gave her the voice or him the guitar? Is it God or is it you? It's all him. Now watch. "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." This is a man equal with God, but didn't take the high up status of God. Born in a stable, below men, with the beast, if you will. "Made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a serpent and was made in the likeness of men that he might feel your pain and know what you're going through. And being found in the fashion of a man," the form of God. Oh, there's a message here. In the form of God, but the fashion of a man. He humbled himself. Humbled himself. Because he could have, didn't have to. But he humbled himself and became obedient. Now watch close. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He said, "No man takes my life. I lay my life down." And it pleased the Father to bruise him. The cross was the glory of God. "Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him because of his death on the cross. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." And how did he get this glorious name? "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." It was so glorious that it's glorious in heaven, it's glorious in earth, and even whatever is under the earth. The name of Jesus is glorious. "That every tongue should confess." Now watch, this is good. "That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Everyone confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. So to give him the glory, he said, I don't take the glory, I give it to him. You pass the glory through him to God. Because without him, you have no access to God. So glory be to Christ, to God. So all the glory goes to God. Amen. So it's easy to want to steal glory. It's so easy just to, yeah, I knew that all along. You know, it's so easy and tempting to just act like you're somebody. And you can do it. I can do it. Only Christ could handle such glory. Amen. Even when the Egyptians, you know, they walked out, Israel walked out with the wealth of Egypt. So many jewels that they had so many. The Bible says they put them on the backs of their children. Here they are going across the dry land, Red Sea, carrying all these jewels and gold and everything. And the reason God gave them that was so when they crossed over, the world would go, "Woo, child, look at your God. My God, your God's good to you. Look at all them jewels your God gave you." But you know what happened? They turned it into a golden calf. They could not handle what God gave them. They couldn't handle. They started stealing the glory that God gave them and used it for their own glory. Only Christ could handle it. Everything and everybody from ball players to ministers have fallen prey to trying to accept the glory that is not theirs. And sometimes if we're not careful, you and I can sit on the pew and think we're somebody. And the Bible says when a man thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. We can look at the life of King Saul, and Samuel told Saul, as long as you was small in your own eyes, humble, he said, God could use you. I mean, God talked to you. He told you what to do, how to approach the enemy, what city to take, what city not to take. But when you exalted yourself, he said, in your own eyes, God said, I'm through with you. So he went and found somebody else who was small in her own eyes. I hate to tell you, David got big in his own eyes too and exalted himself. And he had to go back and be abased. But when you steal somebody's glory, you talk about, you just look at Lee and Rachel, it would be a good example. Lee was having kids and Rachel wanted some, couldn't give. She was mad at Leah. But it's interesting because when Goliath showed up and none of them guys were going to fight him, and here comes little David and he says, I'll go. He's telling Saul, I fought a lion and I fought a bear, and the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hands of this uncircumcised Philistine. He says, the Lord be with you. Go ahead. He figured he's going to die. He thought, I ain't going to worry about him. He's going to die. He never thought about he could steal his glory. He never, because he didn't think he would win. This little old boy is not going to, how can he win? He tried, he didn't think he'd win. He tried to put his armor on him. But little did he understand the God behind this thing would get the glory. He said, I don't come to you with a sword and a stave. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, giving God the glory. And when you give God the glory, as we sing, he gives you the what? The victory. And so David knocks down the giant, and all of Israel is happy, but one man. One man, and that one man is King Saul. Because now he sees ladies and women in the streets with their tambourines, and they're dancing and singing. Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000. What a great guy he is. And the Bible says, and he eyed that David from that day forward and said, what more can he have but my kingdom? Anytime you start aging in on somebody who thinks well of themselves, you can get ready for a cat fight. Spotlights are hard to handle. And as I said, it wasn't long before David forgot where he came from. It can be a Sunday school teacher, a preacher, a pastor, an evangelist, a prophet, a minister. Anybody, you could say, yeah, I've been praying about that. Yeah, the Lord answers my prayers. I'm trying to help you be a better Christian tonight. There's something about possessions that makes you have a sense of glory. Right? I mean, people that have stuff carry themselves many times in a glorious fashion, in a glorious way. Look at me. And because they're wanting the attention. Can I tell you, anybody that wants attention is wanting glory? Is that a fair statement? But we have to be careful that we give God the glory, lest we gloat in our own glory. Let's look real quick at Genesis 31 and 1. I just want to give you this as a reference. This is Jacob has begun to straighten his life up, and the Lord is with Jacob. He actually was with him the whole time, even when he was doing wrong. And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's. And of that which our father's hath he gotten all of his glory. He stole our daddy's glory. This joker that Rachel and Leah married stole our daddy's glory. What was his glory? His cows. His cattle, all his possessions, that's right, all his stuff. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban. Now you know when you're stealing somebody's glory. And Laban beheld the countenance of Laban. Behold, it was not toward him as it was before. He was happy for, oh, my son-in-law. Boy, we're doing good. Man, I'm so glad you married him. Boy, our profits are up. But after all those profits started going Jacob's way and none of it was going Laban's way, his countenance changed. Now watch close. And the Lord said unto Jacob, it's time to go, boy. It's time to go. Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Oh, thank the Lord. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not towards me as before, but the God of my fathers hath been with me. Give God the glory. Give God. He could say, well, I'm a pretty smart guy, you know. I stole a birthright and I stole it then. But he said, hey, I realize it's not me. It's not me. To God be the glory. Amen. And he said, and you know, that with all my power I have served your father. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages, not once, not twice, but 10 times. But God hath suffered him not to hurt me. To God be the glory. If he said thus, the speckled cows, the speckled, which was cattle, speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. He said, now if they have speckled cows, those are yours. Thinking they wouldn't be speckled. Those speckled ones will be yours. They all come out speckled. He said, thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. And Laban's like, and if he said thus, the ringneck shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ringneck. They just, whatever he said, it was the opposite. And God was blessing me. And now his countenance has changed. Thus God hath taken away the cattle from your father and given them to me. I read a scripture that says one time, beware lest any man take your crown. Lest any man take your crown. I wouldn't want God to give my, I wouldn't want to misuse my talent or whatever it is that God's given me and give it to somebody else who would give God the glory. James and John came to Jesus one day, and even their mother came and said, when you come into your glory, could one of us sit on the right and the other one on the left? That would be so glorious. And he looked at them and her and said, to sit on the right and left is not for me to decide, but my Father who is in heaven. But I'll ask you this question. Can you drink the cup? Can you carry the glory I'm going to carry? Can you drink what I'm going to drink to get there? Indeed you shall, he said. Can you carry the weight of glory to get the glory? Mm-mm-mm. Paul is telling us there is a weight that goes along with glory. I want to close, I'm not fixing to close, but I want to use this as a closing set of scriptures in John 17 and 1. I don't want you to get it too excited. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now, it's interesting, it says, the hour is come to glorify thy Son. He had turned water into wine. He had raised a woman's dead child. He had healed lepers. He opened blinded eyes. But the full glory of God still had not yet been seen. Moses asked to see the glory of God. He went across the Red Sea. It looked like, man, he's seen the glory of God. He saw water come out of a rock. Thank God. Glory to God. He saw manna come down from heaven. Glory to God. Quail came out of the sea. Glory to God. But he still said, God, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I'm going to put you in a cleft of the rock, and I'm going to pass by, and I'm going to show you my hinder parts. You're not going to see my full glory. And what he showed him was his goodness. He didn't say showed him his glory. It says he showed him his goodness, because the goodness of God is the glory of God. How many say God's been good to me? Then he's been glorious. If he's been good to you, he's been glorious to you. Because the goodness of God is always glorious. And so even Moses did not see the fullness of the glory of God, because it was not time for that fullness to be seen. And no one had seen the fullness of the glory of God. But the fullness of the glory of God would be seen on the cross. Father, the time has come that we should fulfill all scriptures, all glory. And when you glorify me, I'll glorify you. Now, can God glorify you? See, this is where I'm going tonight. How far can God glorify you so that he continues to get the glory? Till you start stealing that glory. The time comes where Jesus will be lifted up. He first goes down and washes the feet of his disciples before he's actually lifted up, and shows them this is what you should do one to another. But the hour had come that now the full glory of God could be seen. Verse 2. As thou hast given me power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life, you've given me the power over all flesh, that I can give them eternal life, to as many as thou hast given him. As many as you gave me, I can give eternal life to. Now, I got to pause here, because I hear people all the time say that they have the love of God. And frankly, it's hard to believe. When you see how people act and how they talk, it's hard to believe they truly have the love of God. And I'm going to show you why. Because I know the love of God not by how you treat the people you love or your own children, your mom or your dad. I know the love of God by how you treat people you don't like, people who treat you wrong, and people who crucify you. That's how you know the love of God. Because on the cross, he said, forgive them. They just don't know. He didn't say, you bunch of, what are y'all doing to me? No, they don't know. Just, Lord, just wink at them. Just let them by. Because they don't know what they're doing. When you see how you treat other people, including your enemies, then you display the love of God. But when I listen to what you say about your enemies, and I listen to what you say about other people, including other church members, I go, really? Is this the love of Christ? Or is someone stealing your glory? Until you learn to love all people, you will never, ever truly possess the love of Christ. For there's only one reason Christ died, because he loved people. He loved black ones, white ones, ugly ones, pretty ones, thick ones and thin ones, hair, no hair, didn't matter. Enemies, righteous, unrighteous, he died for all people. And until you love all people, you will never lead anybody. If I, as your pastor, can't love everyone that comes through here, I shouldn't be your pastor. Because I wouldn't display the love of Christ. We have to love all people. For God so loved all people, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever he would give eternal life to, that's his business. So, but they don't. That doesn't matter. It's his business. You don't give eternal life. He does. And I'm so glad you don't, because you'd be the only one making it. You'll never be an effective leader until you love all people. Can you say amen? Amen. Love is not based upon performance, or Christ would have never died for you. When we read verse 3, I've paused long enough on that point. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That they might know you and I together as one. Not as separate, as one. Jesus did that with his disciples. He sent them out. Just as God gave all power, listen close. God gave all power to the body of Christ, to the man, not the Father's side, the Spirit's side, to the man. He gave him all power, heaven and earth, healed diseases, calmed the winds. He spoke to the winds and they obeyed him. And Jesus said, I'm going to do that with you. I'm going to send you out, all my apostles, with my power. You're going to cast out devils. You're going to heal the sick. Your shadow will heal people. And they went out, and it happened. I'm telling you, the devils were shaken. People were getting healed. People were flocking to the apostles just like they were flocking to Jesus. And they came back to report to Jesus. You know what they said? Hey, even them devils are subject to us. Yeah, we got it, brother. You see that devil run? Boy, I cast that dude out in Jesus' name. He looked at them and said, rejoice not over that. I can't even trust you with my glory. But rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Give God the glory. Hallelujah. If you got salvation tonight, give God the glory. If you got breath tonight, let everything that has breath give God the glory. And they began to gloat. Yeah, look what we did. Yeah. How many did you cast out today? Oh, so many I couldn't count them all. Watch verse 4. We're still reading right here. I have glorified thee on the earth. I didn't glorify me on the earth. I glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. If you got to, because I got called in my life, finish it. You're called to be a laborer in the kingdom of God. And now we're at this point here where it's time to finish this up. O Father, glorify thou me. Oh, it's changing. See, while I was here on earth, I glorified thee. But now it's time to glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, this is a powerful oneness set of verses here. It shows that from the very beginning, Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Bring me back to the glory I once had with thee. I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they that have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. They realize that whatsoever you gave me was not of me, it was of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. I could tell you some stories. Can I tell you one? I mean, could it be all right? And I've heard this from more than one, like evangelists that would go to a church and they would say, we're going to take up a special offering tonight for brother so-and-so over here. We appreciate him so much and we're going to give him that offering. And when they get that offering, it's $200. And $1,000 was given. It never got to him. This is a story I hear over and over. Somebody's robbing God of their glory and of the truth. What Jesus said, what you gave me, I gave them. I just transferred it. Whatever you told me, tell me. If you gave me riches, I just gave it to them. See, we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. I don't know if you understand that. Whatever you gave me, I gave them. Whatever Christ has got, see, wherever he is, that's where we're going to be. Whatever mansion he's living in, we're living in the same mansion. We got everything he's got. Said, whatever you gave me, I didn't, it's mine. I just gave it to them. I even gave them my life. I gave them my life. And they received them, and they have known surely that I came out of thee. Why? Because I gave it to them. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I've been all over the map to get to this. I am glorified in them. Can you handle the weight of glory? Can you go back on your job and say, Lord, let me tell you, I was sick as a dog. If it hadn't have been for the Lord, I wouldn't be here at work today. Can you handle them going, you got to be kidding? I am, all mine are thine, all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, speaking of dying, but these are in the world. And I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Praise the Lord. As they come tonight, I tell you, that's the way a husband and wife should be. One. That's why the coming of Christ is like a bride and a bridegroom. They are united. And they become one. And that's why Moses wrote that these two shall become one. And we become inseparable. And we're one in Christ. So in closing tonight, the full manifestation of God's glory was seen in Christ on the cross. When he said, it is finished. The full glory of God was seen hanging on the cross. He carried the full weight of glory. No wonder he calls his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. Follow me. No wonder he said we faint. If it wasn't, you get weary and you get tired. Because I'm telling you, being a Christian is not for wimps. Your little girls, I pray for them. Pray for them, girl. It's a lot easier for little girls to go to school and public school and live for God than it is today. They'll face adversities that my kids didn't face. Oh yeah, already. But being like the rest of the world does not give God the glory. Tell you, God never called his people to be camouflage. He called them to stand out like a light and like a beacon. Christ is the only one that could carry the weight of glory all the way to the end and say it is finished. And Christ was the glory of God. Amen. And when people look at you, the Bible says they should not see you, but see Christ in you, the hope of glory. My God, would you stand with me tonight? So scripture says, if we say we love God and hate our brother, then we're a liar. You're a liar. Paul said this. What is charity other than the love of God? He said, the love of God doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own glory. It is not easily provoked, and it speaketh and thinketh no evil. Why don't you tonight make a little movement toward the front? Just for a few minutes. We won't labor long, but just for a few minutes. I wish everybody would come and say, God, help me to carry your glory to work, on the job. He said, if you're ashamed of me on this day, I'll be ashamed of you on that day. And rather than gloat about what you can do, why don't we talk about what God can do? Because he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. He can go out further than you can think. Amen. That's where I want to give the glory to, because I got limitations. If I take too much glory, I'm going to come short. I'm going to end up coming short because I can't fulfill everything people expect out of you. But he can do beyond anything that you expect. Amen. As they sing tonight, I wish every one of us who say we love God, think about what I've preached tonight. Think about what I've preached tonight. How you treat others, brother, is going to tell me. If you don't have love, he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciple. Unless you have love one to another. I'll see how you treat him, not when he's good to you and gave you chocolate pie, but I'll see with you how you treat him when he gossiped on you. The glory. But he's not, but if he is. God. The glory. Hallelujah. I can tell you exactly how many times God will give you the victory. I can tell you exactly. Every time you give him the glory, he'll give you the victory. Thought it not robbery to give his son all power in heaven and earth. So I'm not worried about him stealing my glory. But them men down there on earth, you got to watch them. I'm talking about people. They're vain. They're vain. Vain. Lord, we come before you tonight. We ask you, Lord, take out all vanity. Let that mind that was in Christ, that preferred others ahead of himself, that prayed for his enemies and those that despitefully used him, that spoke no evil against any man. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to help that mind that was in him to be also in us. Why? That you may use us in a greater capacity, that you may give us more of your spirit. And Lord, let us be used with the power that you have in heaven. Let it be shed upon us here in earth, and let us transform that into people, Lord, and let it be transferred into their lives, that God may get more glory than ever before by using us, Lord, in your kingdom. For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it is peace, joy, and righteousness through the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we love you. Amen. One time, give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Amen. God bless you. See you Sunday morning.